Faithful, but you said obey as well?
No,
okay. Faithful. Yeah, faithful. They're faithful, man. They're absolutely faithful. It's very important as a believer in Christ that you can be counted on to carry out what it is that God has called you to do. And when you look at Proverbs 25:19, when you look at that, that's kind of like a contrast. Mm-hmm. When you put it all together, what does that speak to you? You're all members of the body of Christ. So think of yourself as the body, all right? And then Peter. Oh, Peter. Everybody else being faithful, doing what they've been called to do. But Peter isn't being faithful. He's now a toothache in the body of Christ. How well does your body function when you have a toothache? How well does your body function when your foot isn't doing too good? Not good, right? All it takes is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, a dozen people in a church that are saying, yes, I'll show up for Sunday school. Yes, I'll teach this. Yes, I'll be a part of this. I'll make sure that we break down, clean up, do all this, and then they don't show up. We feel that. It reverberates, especially with Shalyn. When all of a sudden, at the last moment, she gets the phone call and says, oh, I can't make it. My brother-in-law came in last night. We're going to go. I mean, whatever it might be. And it's like, are you kidding me? And so quickly I have to do that. And now what she was going to do on that Sunday morning, now she can't do. And why wasn't this? And it just domino effect. And then you have two or three people that do that on a weekend or during the week, or we're going to go and do this and they don't show up. And wow, you feel it. What a perfect description of an unfaithful person. You are a toothache, man. And that's what it is. And none of these guys are like that. Paul can count on every single one of them. Then from verse Philemon, verse 24, Colossians 4, Timothy 4, what's a summary of Demas's ministry? He was, and then what happened to him?
He forsook him later on. He walked away because of the world.
Because of the world. And he didn't finish well. I mean, we don't know the very end of the story, but at this point, seemed to start out okay. Hey, Demas greets you. Oh, and by the way, I'm also here with Demas. I think it says in Philemon. And then he's left us wanting, having more cares of the things of this world. You know, and it's like, whoa, how sad is that? It's not how you start, it's how you finish. Now, it'd be great to start, continue, and finish well. Absolutely. That's what we hope for everyone. But even if you blow it, it's kind of like, okay, well, let's get back on track and let's finish well. At this point, we didn't see that happen with him. What special charge does Paul give to Archippus?
Fill the ministry.
Fill the ministry. Why is he telling him that? And again, what does the word listen or take heed mean?
Pay attention.
Understand what you've been called to. Don't just do it blindly, you know. And just, again, it's one of those things that I believe that Paul was sensing something with him. And he's giving him a quick little reminder. You have a ministry to fulfill. Take heed. Listen up. Understand what you've been called to do. And fulfill it. Complete it. And we're not going to complete anything until the Lord comes back or you go to be with the Lord, one of the two. All right. John, take this group. Joey, you take the other group over there. And then we'll try and meet back here in about 15 minutes. Or 12.
What?
Since I went over.
Did you go?
Well, we started late. But we will have grace with the birthday boy. So I'm just saying.
No.
It says here, what attributes of these godly men is God encouraging you to have, and what does it look like in your life? If you were, and it doesn't have to be the same one, we see faithful, we see servant, we see beloved, we see minister, we see fellow servant, we see all these different things. Did any of you look up those words and it ministered to you of going, oh, I didn't know that's what that word meant? You know, minister, faithful. Because honestly, I knew what every single one of those meant, except for beloved. I had an idea, And then when I looked it up, I was going, yeah, that's not what I thought. And so I looked up the word beloved, and it's a Greek word that means esteemed, dear, favorite, worthy of love. And I took it as, why is this person called beloved? Why do they keep calling these guys beloved? And I don't think that they are beloved of God, even though they are. I don't think that's how it's being used, because Paul's calling them this. And what that means is that these are the ones that are faithful in the ministry for me, for the kingdom work is all I have here in Colossae, working with you in Colossae and Laodicea and Hyperbole or whatever that other one's called. Hierapolis, I think. But it's kind of like he calls them beloved, because I think what he's saying is that as we've been working together, they have become dear to me. They've become my favorites. They have come to this place where they are esteemed and, in a sense, worthy of our love for one another. It happens as you work in ministry. It happens as we move forward together in the kingdom of God. It happens when we go off and do short-term missions together. It happens as we go to Israel together. It happens as we help here in town and do the Christmas Eve service here and Easter sunrise service and do things in the park and other outreaches. And as we turn around, I always see Rich. You know, I always see Richard. And so, I mean, I always see Richard as I'm doing this, as I'm doing that. And all of a sudden, in my mind, he's that fellow servant. He becomes beloved in my sight because we're doing these things together. He's my fellow servant. And that's what Paul is describing them as. And I hope that you get excited about that. And it doesn't matter that some of us here have been doing ministry for years and you've only been here a few months or something. I got to tell you something. Continue to come. Continue to get involved. Continue to do outreach with us and things like that. And you're going to sense that belovedness that we're going to have with one another. You're going to sense that. Because I do sense that with many people here in this room. Because I've been locking arms with you doing ministry together and going through the Word of God together and seeing you serve here at the church, and you're beloved to me. And I believe that that's kind of what Paul has been saying here. And you probably can see one another, and someone here is more beloved than another. And if you were to ask yourself why, it's probably because you've been doing things together, ministry related, here in this church. And that's just kind of a natural affection that kind of happens when you work together for the glory of God and things like that. But that was the one beloved. You know, I'm going, I don't think it means what I think it means. You know? And I had to really look that up. And all the rest, I've taught through it and things like that. But so I had to think of that. What does that look like in my life to be beloved? And really what it looks like is me serving alongside of you guys. You know? What is your ministry that God is charging you to finish well with? And I don't want to hear one thing related to this church yet. So if you take the church out of it, what is the one ministry that God is calling you to finish well as?
Family.
There you go. Family. Husband. Father. Grandfather. Could be all three of those. Okay? Could be son. You know? That family, I'm going to be faithful and finish well. Being a good son to my dad, to my mom, you know, those kind of things. We can all do that. But that is definitely a ministry that God is charging you to finish well in. What else? And now you can include things here at the church if you want to.
Well, I think, you know, it's our family. And then I naturally went to church next, but I was thinking about just all
work.
The people that we run into
mm-hmm.
in our life
right.
every day when we're out. Because like we come here, and it's such a great thing to be part of this family, but yet every day we're interacting with people that are going straight to hell.
Right.
You know, and what are we doing? That's the whole world that we're supposed to go out and preach the gospel.
Right.
You know, and it's easy to get comfortable and just get into your job and do your job and not say, hey, bro, do you need help?
Right.
I've got some answers for you, you know. And I was talking with a guy today on the job site, and we were just talking about that, how sometimes it's hard to invite somebody to church. It's hard to, you know, say, hey, man, like, why don't you come check this out? You know,
right.
It's easy to just say, hey, this is what you need to do, and you know, direct the work part, but sometimes it's a little hard to, you know, invite somebody to come to church. You know?
Well, and a lot of what we do at work comes down to reputation. Do you have a good reputation at work? Because if you have a good reputation at work, then you have influence.
Yeah.
Right?
You have personal influence.
Yeah.
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 And so what we do, what we say, how we act, what we believe comes out.
Right.
And I always find it a little convicting that if we ever do invite people to church, are they surprised?
You know, yeah, right? Yeah.
Yeah. What?
I never want it to be something where yeah. I invite somebody to church and they're surprised. You go to church? Like, I want it to be a natural thing. Oh, which church do you go to? Not like, oh, you go to church? You know, so it's like, that's like a conviction
right.
that I need to have every day. Like, am I showing that? You know, mm-hmm. am I showing that all day long every day? Absolutely not. But
yeah.
I need that to be something that I'm trying, striving for at least. You know, that,
and then they come and you're up there doing worship. Yeah, I mean, right? There are some lights that are, I mean, there are some responsibilities. There, that's why it does say in James that a teacher is under a stricter judgment. I would say those who lead worship, those who lead any sort of ministry, those who are involved in ministry, you know? And some can say, well, that's why I'm not in ministry. I don't want to have a stricter judgment. But there would be greater rewards also. Yeah, Ernest, were you about to say something?
Yeah, I got an easy one. I just invite them to Open Door.
There you go.
Everybody thinks they're a good person. They want to help people. It's like, yeah. Come on.
Let's go to Open Door.
Help it out.
Yeah.
And then, why are you here? Because I love Christ.
Yes. Yeah, that's a great invite to Open Door. And tell them there's more Open Doors here at this church. We got like several. But, you know, still come to church. You know, yeah. We all have ministries that God is saying, finish well, you know, relationships, work relationships, out in the neighborhood relationships, church relationships, you know, we're all members of the body of Christ. Don't be a toothache.